Sometimes I don't by saying that he had just been speaking previously in the talk about the things that are damaging to the satna, that is, that means Buddhism, things that are harmful. He said, however, that in Buddhism, or in the field of Buddhism, meaning the Sangha as well, there are things which are good and there are things which are bad. The good things always were good, and they're still there. The bad things are always bad, and they're there as well. He said that the good things are the teachings which have always been there, and they remain in the teaching of Buddhism, and they're true. Whereas the bad things are deceitful, wrong things, things which lead in the wrong direction. And both of these, the good and the bad things, are both external and internal. In other words, you get bad things externally in the world, and you get good things in the world, in the satna, in the teaching of Buddhism. You also get them internally in the heart of the person himself, of each person. What is false and wrong, and what is true, both arise in the heart of individuals. They're both there to be mixed in the heart itself. And these two things, what is false and what is true, come from what one has learned in one's life, variously, from various places. One's picked up things from all sorts of places, and one has learned them in one way or in another. Some of them are good things, some of them are bad things. And these are all there in one's heart. And they're all mixed up in it. We learn false things not knowing that they're false. We think that they're good things. And they go into the heart just the same. We learn them without in fact testing and examining and seeing whether they're true or whether they're not true. We learn them just because they happen to be the things to learn at the time, or because somebody else says so, or something like that. Dan Chow then went on to say that when we do meditation practice, this is illustrating the something of the falseness of what's in our heart. We do our meditation practice, we sit down for perhaps 3 minutes, doing the practice truly, on repeating Buddha or doing Anapanasati, the breathing meditation, whatever it is. And then the heart goes away from there to somewhere else, and in maybe half an hour or longer, so it's going to all sorts of other things. And then we finish the meditation practice and we feel we've done the time issues. And after doing this many times, we wonder why we don't get results from it. If, however, we were to question ourselves, asking why don't we get any results, we were to examine our practice and look into it and see in fact what we do, we'd recognize, without too much difficulty, that the true practice we did was only for a short period. And the distractions and the mind running over after all sorts of things occupy the rest of the time. And we see clearly that we can't get good results like that. Sometimes he says we practice for 3 minutes and then we almost go to sleep. We wake up and do 4 minutes practice. I think we've done a good practice. He says, with regard to this business of what is false, what is wrong, the important thing is what is false in oneself. There are false things in the world, but the things in the world are not so important as that within oneself. We must try and know ourselves, and what is deluded in ourselves. So we shall see what is false and what is not false. If we do 3 minutes of practice properly, and then stop, and that, decide that's enough, well, that is good practice. But I wasn't quite clear here, but I think his meaning was that if we do 3 minutes or 4 minutes practice, as the case may be, and decide to do that, and we do that properly, it's good practice. It's far better than going on for a long time being distracted. He said, on the other hand, we can perhaps make a very firm resolve to practice truly, and maybe we shall succeed. But we mustn't think then that the false things have been sort of quelled or got rid of. They can come up on there later on, because they're still just repressed underneath. If we really want to set out to practice truly, the best thing is to find a suitable place. A suitable place means a place which is calm, where there's not much disturbance, away from noise and so on. This is similar to what has been described in the biography of Ajahn Mun and also in the Forest Dhamma, the book many of you see. Actually, if a bhikkhu wants to find a place, he can go to rather more severe places for his training. He can go to the forest in the tropical land, and he can find a place which is in many ways quite frightening, where there are wild animals, tigers and so on. And this is an excellent place for practice, because when one goes to the forest and one decides to practice there, one sits down to do one's meditation, one has a degree of fear because of these animals. And one has no laziness in doing one's practice in such times as that. One feels one's only protection is what one has in one's heart. So laziness disappears. One's mindfulness is fairly easy to establish. The mindfulness is easy to establish because of the fear in the citta. And then, if one gets one's citta firmly established and firmly set in the practice, the tigers can growl then, but one won't withdraw from the practice. One will be firmly in it then, and one won't be concerned about it. After such training as this, if one has gained success in the forest like that, having overcome that fear, one will be able to go anywhere where it's frightening or not frightening. And one will have overcome that fear, all fear, and one won't be concerned about whether the place is frightening or anything else. This is because the bhikkhu will have the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha in his heart as his refuge. In this, when he has reached to this state, wherever he goes, he will have metta also. And he meets wild animals or people or whatever it happens to be. He'll have metta, no fear, and he'll be completely equal to the situation. His chitta will be very strong there. As Sam said, there are many ways of training. But once the citta has found a refuge in the heart, it can easily return there again. It tends to return to this refuge. A person going to a dangerous place when the citta is weak and has no refuge is in real danger. It's a dangerous thing for them to do. But once the citta has become strong, there's full confidence and there's no great danger for that person. There's no fear in him, and he can in fact go anywhere. When one has seen the results of the practice one does, one knows them in one's heart, and one knows what they are, and one can never forget them. It's not like things one can forget at all, because one knows the experience in one's heart. I think that might cover this. Can you amplify any of that?
I think that's fine.